And now, Don Blackwell.
I invite you to open your Bibles today to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read verses 26 through 35, and then we're going to make some observations about this particular passage. The Bible says there, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Friends, this particular account prophesies the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And chances are you've heard this many times before, because we frequently discuss the fact of the virgin birth. But how often do we really consider the significance of the virgin birth? You know, there are four fundamental doctrines which are the foundation of Christianity. They are the virgin birth, the death of Christ on the cross for our sins, the bodily resurrection of Christ from the grave, and the second coming of Christ to raise the dead and judge the world. And if someone denies any of these doctrines, he has denied Christianity. And perhaps the most fundamental of these fundamentals is the virgin birth of Christ. Because if it is not true, then Christ was not supernatural. And if he's not supernatural, then his miracles, his death, and his resurrection can all be dismissed. I want us to study three points in this lesson and the next lesson to come. They are, first, was Christ born of a virgin? Secondly, why was Christ born of a virgin? And thirdly, why does it matter if Christ was born of a virgin? Point number one, let's consider the question, was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Friends, all those who profess Christianity, who are members of Christ's church, need to be able to defend the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because it is under attack. The liberals and the modernists and the Jews are all attacking this point. They are saying that Christ was not born of a virgin. Well, that's our question. Was Christ born of a virgin? First, I want to suggest to you today that the book of Genesis would answer yes to this question. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, the Lord pronounced punishments upon them and, of course, upon the serpent. Genesis 3, 14 and 15, the punishment is pronounced upon the serpent. The Lord said, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Verse 15, the Lord says, And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want to suggest to you that this is the first prophecy in the Bible of Christ and the virgin birth. I want you to notice specifically in this section, he talks about the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. Now, that is significant because normally the seed is spoken of as belonging to the man, not the woman. But you see, there's something out of the ordinary being discussed in this text. Now, what's the significance of this? The significance is there is no man involved. Friends, this is the first reference in the Bible to the virgin birth. And it's an interesting thing to note that sin entered the world through or by woman, and then the Savior entered the world through or by a woman, unaided by a man. And so way back here in Genesis chapter 3, we have the scheme of redemption outlined for us in one verse, the seed of the woman. It's a reference to the virgin birth. We have the serpent bruising the heel, that's referring to Satan bringing about the death of Christ, and then him bruising the serpent's head, that's the victory in Christ and freeing man from the bondage of sin. And so really we have the scheme of redemption outlined in one verse, Genesis 3:15. Now the question we're asking is, was Christ born of a virgin? Genesis 3:15 says yes. Secondly, I want to suggest to you that the book of Isaiah also says yes. In Isaiah chapter 7, Ahaz, the king of Judah, was facing imminent attack by Pekah, the king of Israel, and Rezin, the king of Syria. And he is worried to death about it. The text, in fact, says his heart trembled. And so God sends the prophet Isaiah to him to help put his mind at ease. And the Lord tells him the enemy is not going to win. You simply need to rely on the Lord. And then he tells Ahaz that he should ask God to give a sign in order to confirm this prophecy. But Ahaz was a foolish man, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tempt Jehovah. And he rejected the sign, and really he rejected the Lord's help. And he went instead to the king of Assyria and asked him for help. And so Isaiah the prophet turns from the king to the house of David and proclaimed this, therefore the Lord will give you a sign. Ahaz has rejected the sign. The Lord will give you a sign. Here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14. Now, I want you to notice this carefully. Isaiah clearly says that Emmanuel, God with us, would be born of a virgin. This verse plainly, clearly teaches Jesus would be born of a virgin. Now, you might think that would settle the question. But in actuality, what has happened is this passage has turned into one of tremendous controversy. Because, you see, the Jews reject this verse as referring to the virgin birth of Christ because they reject Christ as being the Messiah. The modernists reject this verse as referring to the virgin birth because they are forever trying to take the mythology out of the Bible. And so the virgin birth would be miraculous, and so that would have to be denied. And so what some have done is to take the word virgin in Isaiah 7:14 and just remove it altogether. They have changed it to read young woman. But friends, you see, there's a big difference in a virgin and a young woman. They're not necessarily the same thing. One version that has done this is the Revised Standard Version. Now, I ask the question, why? Why has this version taken the word virgin out? Is it because the evidence indicates it should be that way? No, that's not the case. In fact, the evidence indicates just the opposite. The Hebrew word translated as virgin here is alma. And the fact of the matter is the word alma is the only word that is consistently used to describe a virgin. In fact, it never refers to anything but a virgin. Now, there's another word that is sometimes translated as virgin, and that's the word Bethula. But Bethula is not always a virgin. In Joel 1 and 8, it's used of a married woman. We also have a clue in the meaning of the word because of its root. The word alma that's translated as virgin here comes from the root word that means to conceal. And the thought is that it came from the practice of keeping virgins concealed from the view of men. Adam Clark suggested that it denoted a woman concealed to man, a virgin in other words. Beck said, I have searched exhaustively for instances in which the word alma might mean a non-virgin or a married woman. He says there is no passage where alma is not a virgin. Nowhere in the Bible or elsewhere does alma mean anything but a virgin. And friends, if that's not evidence enough to convince you, when you come to the New Testament, Matthew once and for all settles the question for us. In Matthew 1, 20 through 23, in the prophecy of Christ's birth, Joseph is told that Mary would bring forth a son and that he was to call his name Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. Now, verse 22 tells us all this was done to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. And he quotes Isaiah 7:14, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, I want you to notice the fact that when Matthew quotes Isaiah, he uses the word virgin, not young woman. And it's very significant is the fact that when Matthew uses the word virgin, he uses the Greek word parthenos. This is a word that refers only to a virgin. It cannot be translated to mean just a young woman. The Parthenon in Greece is named for the goddess Athena, the virgin goddess. And so, Matthew quotes Isaiah, and by divine commentary tells us once and for all that the woman being considered in Isaiah 7:14 is a virgin who would bear a son. Now, some have thought that this may be referring to some woman other than the mother of Jesus. But friends, I want you to remember that he says that this woman mentioned in Isaiah 7:14 would bear a son whose name would be Emmanuel, God with us. That could be a reference only to the Son of God. Well, some have suggested that maybe it's a double fulfillment in Isaiah 7:14, that it had reference to somebody in Isaiah's day and also to the Christ. But that can't be right, because the child that is to be born was God with us, and that can only refer to one person, that is Christ. And secondly, if this did refer to someone in Isaiah's day and also to the mother of Jesus, then what we have is two virgin births. Now, those who put this idea forth would say, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that it would refer to a woman in Isaiah's day who was a virgin at the time of the prophecy, but who would later marry and conceive a son. And she would not be a virgin at that time. But they're saying she was a type of Christ. But friends, that can't be right, because if she's not a virgin at the time of birth, she's not a type of Mary. Friends, there are several things you can know absolutely and positively from Isaiah 7:14. First, it teaches a virgin will bring forth a son. Secondly, he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And thirdly, this happened only one time in history and therefore cannot have a double fulfillment. Was Jesus born of a virgin? The answer is yes.